Welcome to Total Retail Talks, your podcast channel for retail knowledge.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 173 of Total Retail Talks. In today's episode, Executive Editor Joe Keenan sits down with Rich Sargenti, General Manager and Vice President of Sales at BARK. Listen in as they discuss the expansion of BARK from subscription commerce to mass market retail. All recorded live at this year's shop.org in Las Vegas. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Joe Keenan of Total Retail. I'm here at the shop.org conference in Las Vegas. I am joined by Rich Sargenti, who is the Vice President of Sales and General Manager at BARK. Rich is going to be presenting here at the show. We just have a couple of questions about not only BARK, but his presentation here at shop.org. So thanks for joining me, Rich.
Joe, thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
So my first question is, maybe you can tell our audience a little bit about BARK.
So BARK was founded by three individuals, our founders, about 6 years ago. They, all three of which are dog fanatics, and had trouble finding in the marketplace products that they thought were just right for their dogs, and started taking it upon themselves to curate products that they thought their dogs would be the happiest with. And I think it just blossomed from there. They started a subscription business, also known as Bark Box, as our product. And so the three different divisions represent over 600,000 customers monthly and over 2 million customers to date.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you mentioned that the business started with Bark Box, the subscription commerce model. You've since expanded into mass specialty retail. Can you walk us through a little bit about kind of the thought process behind that expansion, you know, what retailers you're now selling your products in and kind of how that came about?
Yeah, of course. So think of it this way. There's over 60 million households in the U.S. that have dogs as part of their families. And through a subscription model, you know, you reach a certain number of them. So I think the founders are super wise when they looked at the marketplace and the existing models and thought that there has to be customers that want to get a hold of our products, but probably aren't willing to sign up for whatever reason to a subscription model. So that really led us to looking at other forms of distribution, such as retail. We launched about 13 months ago with Target. Our first customer happens to be a national retailer of that magnitude, and the relationship's been phenomenal.
Maybe we should go back and talk about kind of the growth of the brand and marketing it. So it started with the founders and selling the product online subscription. How did you kind of create that awareness to grow that business and then kind of look towards the next step? Was it, you know, social media or just kind of, you know, press, you know, public relations? Talk about kind of the growth of the business and marketing it from the beginning to the point where you're at now today.
I think it's fair to say that it starts with the team. We have just an outstanding team from the very beginning, the first few folks that we had joined the company. And it absolutely had a social presence to it, where today we have over 7.5 million followers on various platforms, and our engagement level with those customers is just through the roof. But I think it's definitely started with social, really at a point where people were not necessarily setting up, you know, Instagram accounts for their dogs. We were one of the first to actually do that. And I think the approach that we did, which was very authentic, took this humorous angle to the life that you have with your, you know, your furry family member. And it just blossomed from there.
And as you know, people, you know, the pets are an extension of the family. And people want to tell their stories and kind of, you know, so social seems like it would be a good platform for that, and you can kind of engage there.
Yeah, without a question. I think if you look at our customer base, we have a very, very strong millennial customer base. And one of the things that we've noticed is that millennials will post an average 6 times a week a picture of their dog on their social platforms. So it you know, to say that they like showing them off and like to engage, I think is another way that that our brand really speaks to this audience and why that audience really wants to find different ways to kind of touch our brand through our products, through our levels of engagement, and through all different forms of activity.
So you mentioned the partnership with Target. I'm interested in kind of the factors that you at BARK evaluate when you're looking at, you know, okay, we want to sell mass retail. We want to go, you know, that's another distribution channel for us. How do you know it's the right fit? What are the kind of some of the things you look at when evaluating a potential partner?
That's a great question. I think across the board, when we look at a distribution strategy, I think it's really critical to say that we do have a selected distribution strategy. So our goal isn't to set up everybody under the planet. We want to choose select partners as we start to grow within the retail platform. We look for folks that let us be us in many ways. And what I mean by that is we're not about putting products just on peg. So we are completely about the shopping experience and how we do the right things for the pup, but also for the pup parent as well. So it's all about togetherness as we look at our products and our design. But when we look for retail partners, we look for those that will allow us to be authentic to who we are and doesn't really want to change us. And that really means how can we take our experiences and put them at retail? And listen, if you're a dog-friendly retailer, that's always a plus as well.
Do you look at national pet retailers, the PetSmarts and the Petcos, as potential partners, or is that competition for BARK and something that you probably wouldn't look in terms of a partnership?
I think they all fall within a retail portfolio. So I think when you look at the retail landscape, things change fairly rapidly, as we all know, but I think it all comes with a matter of time and what does that distribution strategy look like. So it's always a matter of time.
So you mentioned retail as a distribution point. I'm interested in how BARK goes about customizing its product collections, its marketing messaging, its branding for the various different retailers that are selling its products.
Yeah, so we, when you think about our original model, the BARK box model, you know, we create a new collection every single month. When you look at the landscape within this industry, most competitors build a single collection that they launch once a year. We decided to lean a little bit more towards the roots of our business, being the subscription business. And we create collections on a very regular basis. So probably 6 to 8 times a year, we're launching something new. And those collections, we intertwine a massive amount of creativity. We intertwine copywriters that draft these stories behind our characters. So really the best way to think about it is look at a planogram within a retailer. That's essentially our stage, and the cast of characters are our products, and we use different forms of technology as well as whether it be social or we create digital bots at the retail level to help build that togetherness between the consumer, being our dogs, as well as their pup parents, and it's a recipe that's actually been working really, really well.
So I would imagine at BARK, you want to own the customer experience, whether that's at a retail store partner, Target, or you know, your own websites. So can you talk about how you're using curated storytelling? Obviously, content would seem to be an opportunity. We've kind of talked a little bit about, you know, the social aspect of the brand. Curated storytelling to kind of create those memorable experiences for the customer, no matter the channel that they're interacting with.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I just mentioned that we create several different collections, they can be themed around the time of year, or they can just be a unique collection around a certain event, let's say. And what we do is we try to own the customer both pre, present, and post purchase. So what we'll do is we'll launch through our vast social network some teasers about what's actually about to hit in retail. We'll give like an example of cast of characters, the storyline. When we launch it, and even when we post it, post launch, we have what we refer to as our happy team, which is our Columbus, Ohio office. To call them customer service would be a disservice. These guys engage with our customers at every single level, a lot of it being post-purchase, but they also even get phone calls from loyal customers prior to us launching the next collection saying, hey, what's coming out? When can I see it? Where can I see it? And we leverage all of it, and it works.
I find it interesting you mentioned the customer as the dog, which leads into a thought for me in terms of, you know, you hear so much in retail today about personalizing the experience for the shopper. So your shopper, your customer is a pet. How are you personalizing that experience for, you know, for example, maybe all the different breeds of dogs? So you're, you know, the messaging that you're sending to the pet owner is specific to their breed, or, you know, the product collection that you're curating is specific to that breed. Is that kind of some things that you're looking at in terms of personalization?
I think it goes back to the people as well. I think it's safe to say that we hire people with passion, right? And our mission throughout every ounce of our company is finding ways to make our dogs happy. So if we didn't look at the dogs as our customer, we'd probably be doing a disservice and not really being authentic to what we set out to do. I think setting up the stage for, you know, the customer being the dog, but also finding ways to make the pup parent happy and create engagement with their pup through the toy and through social media is a great way to do this. One of the things that I mentioned before was that the rate that our customers leverage their social media accounts by posting pictures of their dogs, we take that into consideration when we actually design our toys. So when we're designing them, we design a lot of them with photo ops in mind. And as that cycles back around, it just feeds the system that we've created.
So my final question, Rich, we've talked a lot about kind of the start of the brand and kind of, you know, where you're at now. I'm interested in kind of looking forward. Where are some of the opportunities for growth? What are some of the things that you're working on?
Yeah, I think with regards to retail partners, we've done a collaboration with Subaru. So you're going to see some Bark products in Subaru dealerships later this year. As we know and think about the synergies that are there, they're just a huge dog-friendly brand, and you see it in every one of their ads. We also did a collaboration with a smaller coffee shop that's an Australian cafe called Bluestone Lane. And it's more experiential in many ways. And give you a little bit of background on that. Some of the things that we've recognized is that consumers and pup parents are looking for more and more ways to spend time together. So they're looking for things to do, places to go with their pups and pups with their parents. So, you know, those are great examples. And even somebody like a Subaru wants people to come shopping in their dealerships with their dogs. So Subaru, Bluestone Lane. We also have another partner that we're launching with, which is UrbanOutfitters.com. We're about to launch a line of products called Throw Bark Thursday. It's a very retro feel that is right up the alley for their millennial customer. Another thing that we did just a week ago was launched a new concept called Bark Park. So in Nashville, Tennessee, we launched a park that is going to be open for the next few months, and it's 100% experiential. So think of it as a dog park, but for the pup parent, it offers events, it has concerts, it has a food truck, it has a coffee truck, all the things that you would want, free Wi-Fi, that your consumer creates a fun experience for you with your dog.
Yeah, kind of creating that community and cultivating that dog community.
That's what it's all about.
Great. Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank Rich Sargenti of Bark for joining me today at Chop.org. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, be sure to visit our podcast channel page at www.mytotalretail.com/podcast for show notes. Total Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher, but be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel page as well. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Total Retail Talks.